Hey out there in YouTube land, welcome to the Resistance. Tonight we have an action-packed show. We have Max Egan on with us. Currently resides in a remote valley in southern Queensland, Australia. Max has a YouTube channel, The Crow House, Surviving the Matrix, which is just blown up lately. And he has a website, www.thecrowhouse.com. Max's broadcasts were super popular, and they led to numerous invitations to speak at various events across the globe. And Max has been sharing his intelligence, insight, and observations with live audiences for the past 3 years, I believe, now. Is that correct, Max?
10 years I've been on the radio show, brother. I've been touring and speaking a lot more than that, but 10 years I've been doing the radio show.
On YouTube. How long have you been on that for?
10 years on YouTube.
Oh, 10 years on YouTube.
Yeah.
Shit, I was off by freaking 7 years. Max also produced two full-length, we'll just cut that part out when I redo it. Max has produced two full-length films, The Awakening in 2011 and Transformation 2012, and they've both been widely acclaimed and watched by well over a million people all over the world. We also have Vinny Eastwood over here, New Zealand's number one subscribed YouTube channel with 28,000-plus subscribers.
Number one subscribed YouTube news channel.
News channel.
Let's be specific about that, because if it's number one channel, there's heaps of people who make heaps of crap that doesn't mean anything. and by virtue of the fact that there's nobody who makes anything that's even mildly interesting or worth people's time, I'm number one. So
you're number one to me.
In New Zealand, you know, it's not to disparage everybody, but come on, people. For fuck's sake, get your shit together, you know?
Well, you're all rank New Zealand's largest mainstream media channel, correct?
I'm not even mainstream media, but... wait a second. Yeah. Actually, I do. I outrank... What's his name? New Zealand Herald TV. New Zealand Herald, as an entity, has been around for 180 years. I've been around like Max, and it's interesting he said we've been around for 10 years... because I was just thinking before, Max, is that there's a group of us. There's you, me, Aaron Dykes, Luke Rudkowski, James Corbett, and a couple of other guys who really kind of got into it 10 years ago. And throughout that entire 10 years, we've all changed a lot, but we've stayed with the exact same moral compass. And there's another group of people who started out 10 years ago or however long ago, who kept doing their thing, and at some point, nobody can really pinpoint it or whatever. Everybody's got a different point where they go, ha-ha, that's the moment when he lost credibility or whatever. But at some point, they sold out, didn't they? There's a group of us who didn't, you know? And they say that genius is the ability to make money off of what you're doing. And as John Cleese said, you have to be relatively smart in order to realize that you're not that bright, you know? And so I figured out that I'm not that bright. And naturally, I haven't got much money to show for it as well. You know, we're all living on the bones of our ass and everything like that, because that's the monetary reward that truth generally gives you. So anyway, guys, are you still there? Because I'm sorry, I think there might have been a cutoff there.
No, I'm good. I'm here.
Eric, you still there? Eric seems to have dropped out there, Max. How about that?
Well, there you go, mate.
Doesn't matter. I'm still recording it, brother.
Might be the powers that believe they be stepping in. You never know.
Well, one can only hope. Here we go. Eric's back.
Yeah, Jeff was calling in, and we lost him again. So we'll have him keep continuing to call in. What were you guys talking about?
Oh, we were just talking about how you dropped out. but also, mostly just talking about how there's a group of people who started in the truth movement about 10 years ago and are still here and are still broke, but are still speaking the truth. And there's a whole bunch of other people who started out 10 years ago who are still here, and they didn't keep telling the truth the whole time, and they wound up making a lot of money out of it. You know, it was just genius. Pick and choose your battles, eh?
you gotta figure the amount of pressure that was put on them with the lawsuits that were coming at them, going after their family. Who knows what these guys are putting on these people? But myself, there's nothing you can do to make me sell out to that evil Talmudic satanic force that's we're so vehemently fighting against, gentlemen. You know, we have the courage to go out and speak with others outside our circle and talk to them about current events. We do our thing. I like to go outside and get out on the streets and talk to people rather than just online. I know you both do it as well. And I'd like to just kind of point up and ask them if they know what's going on in the sky. And I'm becoming kind of shocked at how many people are actually waking up now and the rapid acceleration of the awareness that I'm seeing out there right now. I really do believe we're on the cusp of a mass awakening, guys. You know, we're in a fight to preserve actual humanity right now. We got the push for AI and humans becoming less human every day, and they're all tied to their smart devices. But I think we're doing everything we can right now. And what we need is like a 100 monkey moment, I think. And their entire plan is to disempower us and make us believe that we can't do anything to change what's going on. And I think waking up is truly a bond. It's a chance for unity. And let's talk about truth. It has a frequency. It's in a high vibration frequency, too. And I think we have the opportunity to bond the world together through the frequency of using truth, because everything's frequency. And never underestimate our ability to make change in this world and never give up, which none of us will. We never know what impact we might have on somebody. And we might spark the next revolutionary, who knows, by something we said. But they're counting on all of us being sucked into this smart surveillance grid. We got 5G going up everywhere. 20,000 5G satellites are set to be launched. I mean, are you serious? Paul Bagley, are you serious? I mean, I cannot believe they're going to launch 20,000 5G satellites in addition to what they have already. They're going to drown us in like a toxic soup so we're unable to connect with our third eye, calcifying our pineal glands, and pretty much destroying what's left of people's minds. And the 5G technology originated in the military. And the last thing I want to talk about, and then I'm going to turn it over to you guys, I'm going to get my pen and paper out and take notes. 5G technology originated in the military. And one of these things is called the ADS system. Have you guys heard of this?
Nah.
Active denial.
Yes. Yeah. It's a 1 millimeter wave frequency fence. And it looks like a cell tower. If you put like a cell tower on top of a Humvee, and then the waves pulsed and the area can hit, it burns your skin. And it's perfected to go under the skin so you can't see the burning. So we're going to be absorbing this every day with 5G technology, which is insanity. So, and I urge many people to go out there and check out. There are a lot of tools out there, special clothes, materials, shields, stuff like that to shield yourself from these rays. I don't see a giant cataclysmic event coming. I see like a slow boil, the frog in the pot thing. And that makes them a lot of money keeping us sick too. And our silence is consent. We're experiencing all an attack on truth and a cover up of history, as both of you have talked about. We're experiencing freaking something crazy right now, because sometimes I think, man, am I like my dad? Am I getting old and I'm just, seeing things from a more of a pessimistic view because I'm older? No, things are really messed up. I mean, did Thomas Edison create the light bulb?
Tesla.
Did he create it? He didn't create it. He bought the patent. And we're sold this lie for generations that he created the light bulb. And now we have the Ascendant plan of the New World Order in the process of deleting all history, as they always have. And these people have absolutely no empathy for the consequences of their actions on others. They don't care. And I got to tell you, I'm truly blessed and humbled to have Vinny and Max, and hopefully Jeff will make it on the show. They're literally being the change that they'd like to see in the world. With that being said, let me turn it over to Max. Max, how are you? What do you think about some of the statements I just made?
Yeah, look, I agree with you, brother. We're heading for a pretty dangerous sort of a reality. You know, there is an awakening. I mean, a lot of people are becoming aware that the system is incredibly corrupt, but they're not becoming awake to the whole spectrum of things, but at least they are beginning to become aware that the government is not their friend and is not acting in their best interests, you know. But there's so much theatrics and so much stuff going on to keep people distracted at the moment and keep people think the government's in there fighting for them. Yeah, what I figure out is that they're all working together. I mean, all these governments are working together. There is no enemies. Really, when you look at the fact that they've erased history, as you were saying, they've completely fabricated what we believe history to be. And they've created this whole feudal system, and they've created justification for themselves to be there. And, the world's very, very different to what people think it is. And there is an awakening. I mean, what we really need to do, those people who are still got integrity in the truth movement, the best thing we can do at this stage is provide a safety net for people who are waking up so they don't go into fear, so they can see the enormous opportunities that come with this awakening, that come with everything that's being exposed now, because there is huge opportunities in all this if we can just get a little bit of focus, you know.
We're having a lot of that kind of dissolution of the truth movement. I remember it might have even been the last show that we did about the flat earth movement, Max, and that kind of thing, and that thing's still strong. In fact, New Zealand's having the newest flat earth movement conference here in a couple of months' time or something of that nature. The movement's stronger than ever. And it seems like it's not just that, though. There's this yellow vests thing, there's this MAGA hats kids thing, and all of these distractions, essentially. And when distractions, I'm not necessarily saying that any of these topics that I've listed don't have very interesting kernels of truth and ways of questioning reality and things like that when you fully look into them. But what I'm saying is, a lot of the times, you can't actually do anything about it. You're not actually doing anything about it, and maybe it's just distracting you from stuff that you could actually be doing in your real life. You know, you're connected in a three-dimensional universe sort of thing. And if you don't do things in the real world, you know, do your dishes, clean your bed and bedroom up and all of that kind of thing, you just wind up going crazy. You're sitting there at a computer going, oh, my God, what the hell is all of this stuff going all this emergency stuff that's not outside your door, it's not in your street or anything like that, and you're just distracting yourself endlessly with stuff that ain't freaking affecting you, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's what's happening. And, you know, it's really been interesting, the whole Flat Earth movement. I mean, there's a lot of good people there in the Flat Earth movement. I'm friends with a lot of Flat Earthers.
Yeah, no doubt.
They do good research. They do good stuff. You know, there's nothing wrong with what they do. But it's how the movement is played. And I predicted back in 2015 that it would be used to usher in internet censorship. Because I'll be saying, look how bad the internet's become. You know, the internet's convinced all these people that now the Earth is flat. So this is what they can use to introduce censorship. And just recently, you know, and it's getting mentioned by the mainstream more and more. Recently, there was a show they did on National Geographic where they actually had a bunch of flat earthers on there, and they did a little test where they sailed a boat with stripes on it over the horizon, so blah, blah, blah. And they had Mark Sargent on there, and he played the conspiracy nutter to a T. Like, he had the crazy eyes going on and the complete refusal to address any questions and all this sort of stuff, to the point that the reporter was able to say, well, this is dangerous thinking. So now they've planted that seed in the public's mind that flat earth is dangerous thinking. So the flat earth movement has gone out of its way to associate all the provable criminal actions of government that we know are true and provable with a belief that the earth is flat as well. So all of this can be associated together and bring about the need for internet censorship. I mean, this is something that I said in 2015. And the thing with whatever shape you think the Earth is, there's no model that can be conclusively proven to end the debate. This is why it's such a circular argument. You can't prove the globe completely. You can't prove flat completely. You can't prove concave completely. You can't prove hollow completely. You can't prove a hologram completely. There's no model that you can actually prove without any questions still being there. So it's the perfect thing to use for it, you know? I mean, who knows what this realm is? It could be anything. How do we know they're not even hiding land? How do we know the planet isn't twice the size of what they tell us? How do we know anything that they tell us to be true?
Yeah.
But, you know, so when you look at it and you see the way it's been played and the seeds that have been planted in people's minds, and this National Geographic special they did on it was a perfect example of where they want to lead it, how they want to make it be perceived as dangerous thinking, And then they can say, well, look how bad the internet's got. This is why we need to regulate information. All information needs to be tailored, all this sort of stuff. You can see exactly why they're doing it and how it's going to work, you know.
One example in a story to add on to that, I think it might have – I don't remember which actual news organization did this, but it was a flat earther guy, and he was trying to launch himself into space on a little rocket that he built himself, okay, and he got 1,850 feet into the air, and then he deployed his parachute, and he hurt himself when he landed. Okay, it was a hard landing. Now there was a comment in this in the comment section that said 1,850 feet. A commercial airliner gets up to 33,000. Why didn't you just buy a plane ticket? Right, so they're trying to put this one ridiculous dude who didn't quite think it through on the pinnacle and say, see, this is all flat earthers and that kind of thing. And it's like, no. There's this thing called human variation. All right. Now, again, I'm still on the fence about this. In fact, I'm actually pretty certain that it's not flat all round. In fact, my thought process is that it's a holographic fractal representation of collective consciousness co-creating itself. All right? So, essentially, what that does is it takes all the models into account. Oh, that's why all the sacred geometries actually works in all the different models. That's why all the different models have all these different heliocentrism and all of that kind of... Okay. And that's why a lot of the different models don't make sense, because they're all part of this one fractal. It's almost like it'll be what you think it is, right? And the evidence will start presenting itself like that. But here's the difference. One guy made an accusation, an assertion, really. And I think this applies not only to the flat earth movement, but to the truth movement in general and any other kind of environmental movement or activism circle you can ever find. Is that you get people to believe not so much in the process of reviewing information, allowing it to dictate your conclusions, but the process instead of acting under extraordinary belief and veneration of a particular idea or ideal, to the point where anybody who does not share that idea or ideal is perceived as an enemy. Okay, so that's the split. Down here, you've got that cult indoctrination thing where anybody who doesn't believe what I believe is an enemy. And down here, you've got total denial of absolutely everything, blind ignorance. Now, it doesn't mean that the middle here is the perfect way to be. I think in some cases you need to very, very viciously believe in and back up what it is you're saying and doing because you know it to be true. And in some cases you definitely should just deny this and ignore that and that kind of thing. Who cares? That's BS, you know? But some of the time it causes you to question, right? So it's the point that all of us need to be able to go to both extremes and the middle, all right? That's the art form of life. That's how we figure shit out without turning into a goddamn extremist and start yelling abuse at people on YouTube comment sections for no reason other than I've got zero subscribers and no channel content. Therefore, I will abuse people who've got 37,000 subscribers and 5,000 videos. All right, so it's that whole kind of mentality that I don't like. Information aside, let's just present it. You know, no bones about it, no getting emotional about it. Let's just figure out if it stacks up.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, exactly. And the thing is with all that, I mean, what we need to do is establish the freedom to find out. I mean, you can argue about what model you want to believe in as much as you like, but you're not free enough to actually put any of the argument to rest. And the argument itself is the very thing which is ever preventing that freedom from being created because of the division the argument is causing. So let's get a little bit of focus on the force that caused all of these mysteries to exist in the first place, and let's deal with that, and then we can put it all to rest. It seems to make sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, and then we can go and find out whether the Earth is round or flat or holographic or what is going on. We can find out the truth about a few things. But at the moment, we're prevented from doing so. And the truth movement is basically eating itself alive through the infighting and argument over people's various belief systems, none of which can be proven because ultimately nobody really knows because we've been given so much shit to look at that I can prove anything you want to prove. This is what I keep telling people. You tell me what you want to believe. Give me 48 hours to create a presentation and I can convince you that you're right. Because all of the information has been put out there for me to do so. But how true is any of it? How do we know how valid any of this information is?
You're absolutely right. And, go ahead, Max.
Trying to convince, even suggest that to people, that they don't know. Put your belief systems down and realize that you don't know. We don't know. I mean, there's certain things we do know, but there's a lot of stuff we don't know. We're simply speculating. And let's just put it all down and realize, you know, that like Socrates or whoever it was said, you know, the real wisdom is knowing how much you don't know. Really, that's what we're facing. All our history has been fabricated. All the stuff that we're given is all in books and libraries. Why do they call them libraries, Vinny, do you think? All these books. Who wrote all these books? Where did all this stuff come from?
You know, I don't know. Let's go to etymology. .com and find out, because that's the funny thing is that words have meanings, and there's actually we do have the ability to discern things and find out truth and things of that nature, right? Because there was in fact a methodology put down long ago that allowed people the tools in their daily life to figure out truth from fiction, all right, to test what they called veracity of a statement, of a principle, or something of that nature. How can you mess with it? So if we have a look at what we were talking about, a library, right? Let's have a look at library on etymology.com. Place for books, late 14th century, from Anglo-French librairie, old French librairie, and collection of books or booksellers shop, from the Latin librarium or bookcase or chest for books. See, now you know, Max. All right, see, a lot of people go through life confused because they don't know how to figure stuff out. And then if you go to etymology.com, it's part of the trivium. All right, so I'm not 100% sure. I think probably Mark Passio did a very, very good lesson on the trivium there. But I think the basic principle of it was the very first thing I learned in the first day of journalism school when I was 16 is who, what, when, where, why, and how. Okay, if somebody comes up to you and you say, oh, I caught a fish this big. Oh, yeah, who were you with? I think I was with Dave. Oh, yeah, Dave, you were with him? No, I wasn't with him. Okay, but BS. Right, so as soon as you start asking those critical questions, who, what, when, where, why, how, anything that happens to be a lie will immediately start falling apart or have missing information and things like that most of the time. And that's how you figure it out. Now, how do you figure out if somebody's lying? If you make an accusation directly at somebody who's about to lie to you, they won't directly deny it. They'll just try to convince you that they're not the kind of person who would do such a thing. There's this woman in Tennessee, I think it was, and she murdered her children. She ran her car into the river, and then she got out of the car while the kids were drowning, and then she ran to the police station immediately to report it. And she goes, oh, my God, I ran my kids into the and they're dying. Cop at the front desk, did you kill them? And she goes, oh, what kind of a question like that? I would never kill my children. They're my life. I love them so much. Did she say no? Right. No, she didn't. All right. Now, anytime you ask a politician a direct question, Does he say no or yes or give you a fact or a figure or something like that if you ask him a who, what, when, where, why, and how? Okay, so here's the thing. That litany of education got taken out, all right? Previously, all education used to be done by volunteer groups, you know, people who were just reading their Bibles and teaching local kids from through donations and stuff like that. And then when the government got in charge of all the schooling systems, they kicked the trivium out of the curriculum. so that every time they were teaching kids, the one thing they didn't teach them is how to tell truth from fiction. imagine brainwashing an entire generation into not knowing the difference between truth and fiction. Imagine what they would teach their kids, and imagine what they would teach theirs. That's how we've got to this point in society, why everybody's so confused, which is the reason why the OSS, which became the CIA, was created, to confuse the enemy. And now the enemy is us.
They've done very well, haven't they?
Oh, yeah. Give the devil his due.
Yeah, you've got to admit it's a great plan, and they've been very, very successful. As you know, great Chinese proverb, you know, if you want to take over a country, educate their children.
There we go. Education's the key, isn't it? And we've been talking a whole lot about what are these practical solutions. And you know, the thing that bugs me, Max, about people who ask for solutions is they're often the people who don't yet understand the problem.
Yeah, yeah, I've found that as well. I mean, they are the solution. I've always said one of the best things you can do is pull your kids out of this education system and give them a real education. You know, the people, the communities need to get together and do this themselves, realize how much their kids are being brainwashed, and start their own community education system. Like you said, by volunteers who actually want to educate people, not people who are just following the government line and promoting the government agenda. And if the government doesn't like that, well, dismiss your government. Because you have the power to do it. We all have the power to do it. They're all war criminals and liars anyway. They all use their own legal system to cause harm against people and break their own law every day. They're breaking their own laws in the name of the law. Well, then there is no law. And that's what, you know, they've shown that to us over and over again. So, you know, if we had some sort of an awakening like that, it would be highly beneficial, and it might actually achieve something. But that would be the first thing for people to do, educate their children properly, get them out of that indoctrination system.
Yeah. I mean, even just the word education, indoctrination, you know, that kind of thing. How do our kids get indoctrinated? And in fact, the techniques are quite startling. You give them a central authority figure who can't be questioned. You get them to do boring things over and over again. You make sure they're really sleep deprived, slightly malnourished, and under fluorescent light. Doesn't that sound like public schooling to you? Like...
Yeah, very effective, very, very effective. Like I said, you got to hand it to them. They've done a great job.
Forget that, because they have plenty of computers and plenty of radiation in their smart meters.
Yeah, and they've got the Wi-Fi routers in all the classrooms as well. So it's usually just irradiating the kids' brains and things like that. Probably not in the private schools, maybe. Who knows?
This is true. This is true. And before we go off the flat earth subject, which I'm more than happy to get off because I do believe it's a complete waste of time, and it was a perfect tie-up. One of the things that I noticed, because I look into all sides of the argument. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to research both sides. The flat earthers, they, for the most part, refuse to research both sides. And one of the things that they believe is that they know the truth, and they know for a fact. And they are right, and you are wrong. And what you two both brought up at the start of the show was that's completely the wrong attitude to go in with, is that you know the truth, and you have the absolute truth, and nobody else does. Who do these people, how can they say that? It's just, it's insane to me. Sentinel, can you hear us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
The flat earthers are going to do when the Virgin Galactic starts taking tourists up into the fucking space. Are the tourists going to be in on the conspiracy too? Richard Branson's fucking Virgin Galactic is going to be taking tourists up there before too long.
Well, as Danny Bamping said, the only thing flat earthers fear is sphere itself.
Jeff Hayes got in. Let me introduce Jeff Hayes real quick. He is author of Rise of the New World Order, The Calling of Man, and The Awakening, best-selling biblical prophecy in the UK right now. Been best-selling for many years now, working on the third book, The Resonance.
And
interestingly enough, he's going to be writing about some of the hot-button topics that I hear Max talking about all the time, 5G. HARP, and geoengineering.
chemtrails. It's all connected.
Go ahead, James. Yeah.
So I'm just getting into research on that stuff. I mean, I know some degree about it, but not the degree that I need to know to really bring some mind-blowing shit to the table. So I got some work to do for sure, but I'm working on it. I'm all in against the New World Order, so 100%.
I wonder, yeah, also...
They're all tied together, all of these topics. I mean, they're definitely spraying in the skies to what end and what the purposes are. I mean, I think it's a multi-pronged thing. I think there's all sorts of reasons for them to be doing it. And it's all interrelated. I think the spraying relates to 5G, the whole lot. I mean, it's all connected, the cell phones, the smart meters. I think they're setting us up for something pretty major, and I don't think it's going to be too long. Now, whether it's reoccurring cataclysms, whether they're natural, whether it's going to be a 5G frying, whether it's just going to be a big lockdown, I mean, whatever it is, I mean, we don't really know, but there's definitely something
I know
big coming.
It is.
I think that's why there's so many distractions as well.
Well, there's a certain frequency during the MK Ultra mind control experiments. They'd stick electrodes into every part of the brain, and then they'd turn up a feed on that particular part of the brain on the frequency, right? So they go, what does this frequency do? And they go, well, I'm feeling really, really angry right now. And they go, okay, what does this frequency do? And they go, I'm feeling really, really afraid. And they go, okay, what does this frequency do? So they mapped out the entire emotional pattern of the human brain, right? And then they've embedded those exact same frequencies into the 5G technology. So, do you want to make the population docile today? Bing! Do you want them to do a riot? Bing! You know, see the way. Oh my God, it's going to be so much fun.
And then, I actually think they've been experimenting with that sort of stuff already. I mean, I've seen days here when the
I'm not saying experiment. This is what they've already admitted that they're doing, that they've already put in them.
Right.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've seen days here where the whole place has been, you know, angry, where the whole place has been sad, where the whole place has been afraid. I mean, I've seen it already in society around me. So, and I've felt things like that myself, thinking, what's these emotions I'm feeling? Because these aren't mine, you know? Interesting stuff.
I've been having a recurring thing about hitting people in the face. Like, seriously, I've just been like sitting next to them like a mate in the car, or my wife, or anybody. And just for some reason, just, I don't know what it is. You know, it's like, well, where's that coming from? I don't understand it, right? And then once I started watching Truth Stream Media and some of their little short film documentaries on the subject, makes perfect sense. We're being initiated electronically into a satanic cult. It's like, that's kind of freaky on a subliminal level, you know, just using electronic. Oh, no defense, no firewalls. Brain can't defend itself against that kind of attack.
Gotta get the tinfoil hat out for that shit.
Yeah.
For real.
But these things have been going on like, for years and years and years. Years and years and years. Way back to MK Ultra. I think the only way to keep this whole facade going now is to just continue to spur on more global conflict. I mean, with Trump swearing in Israel and they're pushing out for more settlements, they have plans to build over 2,000, I think it's 2,500 more settlement homes. Just days after Trump swore in, that just passed by. And now we have Netanyahu and Trump, who are really, really good friends. They're close with each other. And they're both promised us that they're going to have close coordination of these settlements, which is in complete violation of international law. This is a fact. Why is the U.S. sending Israel tens of billions of dollars per year while our infrastructure crumbles and people starve here? I mean, Israel is the only country not to sign the Nuclear Proliferation Agreement. Why is that? Why are more not outraged about Israel violating international laws over and over and over again? And even people in Israel are outraged by this. And now we have Trump. He's recently endorsing torture. What is that? I mean, how many people are locked up at Guantanamo right now? Does anybody know? Is that part of our values now?
I was thinking you had to be in the truth movement for at least 10 years, Max, don't you think, before all of this starts to feel like deja vu?
Yeah, it does. It all
don't,
does.
Don't you think, brother? They play the exact same scheme every decade, and as each generation grows up, the exact same play happens. Like, in your first 10 years of life, some big disaster happens, some horrible person's in control of the government or whatever, and then in your second 10 years of life, some horrible bloody nanny state is being set up and some terrible thing or whatever, and then the next 10 years of life, there's some horrible guy. You know, and it just keeps going and going and going and going, but you have to be paying attention for 10 whole years before you figure out it's being done.
Yeah, and it's the same play over and over and over again. It's the same play. And they all work together to do it. The enemy's just changed. I mean, who's the enemy today? It's a different enemy. You know, one minute we're friends with Russia, now we've got sanctions against Russia. You know, it's insane. And they all work together, Vinny. They all work together, and it's predictable. Everything they do is predictable.
Yeah, well, what was it? The Illuminati, when they got formed in 1776, the courier who carried the document from that particular conspiring house in Bavaria got struck by frickin' lightning. He fell off his horse and his documents and things like that, and the people had to open them up to figure this out. And they're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God! And it's just all these names of all these powerful freaking members of the nobility, and this elaborate conspiracy of how to destroy the church and how to destroy the kings and queens and all the kingdoms that wouldn't. Oh my God! How did they do it? How did they do it? One methodology, one alone. It works every single time, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, you got your pens and papers ready? Okay. If you're scamming people with a particular scam, as soon as people figure out that you're scamming them, go underground, change the name of the scam, bring the scam back, and keep scamming them! Okay? It works every time! Okay?
The biggest scam in history was Jekyll Island in the Federal Reserve, which is continuing right now.
Well, the thing is, it's the same scam that's been run since 1776, okay? For example...
Interesting you chose that year. Is that the truth?
Yeah, that's... No. That's the actual year that the documents were found. That's the year the Illuminati were formed, and it's incidentally the year of the founding of the United States, because in the conspiracy, they wanted to destroy the United States, okay? They knew it was breaking apart from England with the Declaration of Independence, but... The rich are very different from you and I, because when you or I see a country breaking away from an empire, we go, oh my God, whatever will we do? Because we're only thinking about our lifetime, what we could do, nothing. But if you're really, really powerful and you have an ultra intergenerational wealth family and one of your big countries falls out of your empire, do you freak out? No, you just sit back because you know why empires break apart. You know how countries collapse from within, and you know how free countries get absorbed by empires again. And so if you figured, hey, it's only going to take us maybe a couple hundred years or whatever, that's maybe like five generations or whatever, the United States is not ours anymore, but she will be again, and nobody else is going to figure it out, because we've got the same scam that works every time, and as soon as they figure it out and give it a name, we'll just give it another name. Oh my God, Bush started Desert Storm. I hate him. I'm going to vote for Clinton. Oh my God, Clinton invaded Kosovo. I'm going to vote for Bush. Oh my God, Bush invaded Afghanistan and Iraq. I'm going to vote for Obama. Oh, Obama killed everybody with more drone strikes than anybody else. I'm going to vote for Trump. Oh, Trump's trying to start World War with blah, 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 blah. I'm gonna vote for somebody else and not friggin' realize that there's a scheme being played. It's just, it's right there. It's right fucking there. Oh my God. I just had to get out.
What? What? Okay. Yeah. Our apologies, Max. What do you think of that?
That's all good, brother. This is one of Vinny's tirades, so I expect this from Vinny. Vinny gets very emotional. It's understandable. I mean, you get frustrated doing this after a while.
Oh, no, it's not frustration. It's hyperbole for the sake of comedy.
It's all so predictable, and the fact that people can't see it, and the fact that they just keep buying into this stuff, and as you say, they just keep putting a different face on the coin, expecting different results. I mean, they say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, and yet people continue to go to the polling offices and the voting offices every 4 years.
And we don't vote, and people call us crazy, and in an insane world, a sane man must appear insane.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? It is. I mean, they're just doing the same thing and expecting different results. You know, we've got a society that's suffering from collective insanity, collective brainwashing, and you try to tell them about it, and they get angry. I mean, what do you do? What do you do? I mean, comedy may be one of the best outlets to crack the shell with these people, you know?
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, man. If somebody's making you laugh, it's very difficult to hate them, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's what I love about Benny from Joy Camp as well. Give him a bit of a plug. Yeah. You watched any of Benny Will's stuff from Joy Camp?
Oh, I love those guys, man. I had them on my show a couple of times. They're great.
Yeah, really, really good stuff. So, yeah, comedy is a good way. Just point out the ridiculousness of it all. You know, that does really crack the shell with a lot of people. And I try to crack a few jokes at my talks and stuff as well, just to loosen it up with people and lighten it up, even on my shows. I mean, you bring in really negative information to people, so you've got to try to make it a little bit lighthearted at least. I mean, at least laugh about it. Because if you can't laugh, well, what's the point of anything, you know?
Yeah. I especially like that kind of quasi-abuse. Like, and by what I mean by that is, like, if you create a fictional character who goes, oh, I love Fortnite, it's just that good, I think with another vaccine, I'm really going to get myself another one, you know, and you can create these fake personas and hurl all of your negativity onto them and graft them onto this character and play it out. And it's very cathartic, that kind of thing. And I think that there's very, very few people who actually do think like this character that you've created would have the self-awareness to realize that you're talking about them.
Yeah, oh, that's true as well. I put out a show recently actually called Everything is Awesome, where I did something similar. The whole show was just sarcasm, and I was explaining how great everything was. It was wonderful. I mean, all the difficulty we used to have getting bugs off our windscreen. We don't have to worry about that anymore because all the bugs are dead for all the radio waves. It's a wonderful thing that they've done to us, and how the oil companies are helping out by killing all the birds that nest around their refineries because the birds eat valuable seeds and things, and seeds can be used for eco-fuel and all this sort of stuff. So everything's really great, you know, the way everything's going. The bees, I mean, we're killing all the bees with the 5G, and that's good because people get stung by bees. You know? So I just started doing this show called Everything is Awesome, and I just started being sarcastic a couple of minutes into the show and looking at the world through those eyes. I didn't think I'd be able to do it, but I actually kept it up for like 48 minutes or 49 minutes on of just complete sarcasm for the entire radio show. But this is how completely ridiculous the whole world is. So, and I got some amazing responses actually from that show. Because people were just able to think of things from a different perspective and look at things through different eyes. So it does work, you know. Comedy can work if you do it in the right way.
That's
right. A good medium.
Family Guy, in fact, I was watching a guy's video on YouTube, and he was analyzing one of the recent things about Family Guy that absolutely destroyed these social justice warriors and millennials and their short attention spans and all of this other kind of stuff. And he found it just so funny because ultimately, if you have a look at, or at least a lot of my American brethren have been telling me this, if you're looking at the comedy that's coming out of the left in the United States right now, it's bad, man. It's not, I mean, it's just not funny. It's boring as hell. And the people on the right, on the other hand, that are criticizing the SJWs and the millennials and this big New World Order communist streak and whatever, are coming up with the greatest comedy because comedy is about truth, okay? So people don't understand what a truth is until somebody puts it in front of them. Okay, so a comedian and a theoretical physicist ostensibly have the same job, and they coincidentally have, on average, the highest IQs of any two professions, right? And I think the reason for that is they both look at complex sets of data that has a lot of ins, outs, variables, and what have yous inherent within the data set that they're looking at. And they're able to instinctually, almost immediately, compress that data into something that's a straight line, something that's understandable, something that's so simple it makes you wonder how it was so complicated in the first place. That's how a joke gets formed, and that's how theoretical physics works. Because if you're able to see the code for what it is and break into it, you can make something funny. It's a mathematical equation that doesn't make sense. This is the very rudimentary way of looking at it as it was actually explained. If you give somebody an equation and you go, okay, that doesn't make any sense, it's confusing. But if it's a joke, the confusion is in fact the point. Because if you highlight what is confusing about a situation, you automatically tell the truth that people had thought instinctually, but they hadn't been able to put into words. That's why laughing about things is so cathartic. That kind of thing. I think it's quite an important part of people's waking up, essentially, and staying awake, because there's so many people who bury their heads into the pedophile cults and the everything within the truth movement. That's really, really scary stuff, man. And if they're not stopping for a bit and watching some Bill Hicks and some George Carlin and some Steve Hughes and all of these great comedians that have come through our midst in the last century, I mean... You're missing out on the lighter side of genocide, gentlemen.
Everything is happy. Everyone is cool. Everything is wonderful when you're part of the team. Everyone is happy. Everything is cool. Everything is wonderful when you're part of the dream. That's the intro for your show, Max. What do you think?
Beautiful. No, that's very true, Vinny. It's very true. And people need to be able to do that. They need to be able to really look at the complete ridiculousness of this situation, you know, the complete ridiculousness of what the government's doing and how it breaks all its own rules. I mean, you can put all of that into comedy. You can put the entire raves that I keep on going on about the legal system, how they're all war criminals in breach of their own legal system in order to use the law to break the law, to do so in the name of the law, to use the law against you. I mean, you could put all this into a comedy sketch and perhaps wake people up with that, you know. But yeah, it's very important for people to see the complete stupidness of our situation. And it's completely and utterly idiotic when you step back and look at it.
Mm. And as John Cleese said, you have to be reasonably intelligent in order to figure out that you're not that bright.
Yeah, but something else he said that is the problem is with true stupidity is there's absolutely nothing that can be done to cure it. Which is true, unfortunately. Truly stupid, they're truly stupid, and it's profoundly stupid, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. It's just the way it is, you know.
Kind of like with psychopaths, you know, you can't save them, and they're not going to change.
No, they're not. But
and in fact, they'll damage you if you let them live without consequence.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, I mean, it doesn't take everybody to change the world. And those that are truly stupid, I mean, they're sure there's a lot of people out there that are truly profoundly stupid. They're probably really lovely people too. Probably nothing, never done a bad thing to anybody in their life, never done anything to hurt anybody, probably honest as the day is long, but just profoundly stupid. And, you know, we can't help that. And they need saving as much as everybody else. And, you know, when you're dealing with people like that, it doesn't really matter. I mean, we can all make a difference in our own lives. We can all make a difference to the world around us by being in our moral compass in everything that we do. I mean, a lot of truly profoundly stupid people are very much in their moral compass. So there's nothing wrong with that, you know. Mm. But those of us that do have the intelligence to see what's going on here can make positive change by being, you know, shining lights in our community and helping those around us and leading by example in all that we do. And doing everything, operating always within our moral compass. That's what makes a difference, because everything about this system causes you to step outside your moral compass every moment of every day. We're always obeying by laws and a legal system which is not doing the right thing. But we just don't identify and we don't call it for what it is. You know, and if we were to get up and do things in a public enough manner and call things out in a simple public enough manner, perhaps we would reach even those stupid people, because, you know, if you can say something simple enough, then it reaches even those who don't think clearly. I mean, if it just makes sense, then it makes sense, you know. And if people are just, you know, can't be afraid to say this sort of stuff. I went to a council meeting recently and I just tore strips off to local councillors, got up and just called things exactly for what they are. And the local council member was almost in tears, and the whole room got up and cheered
from what I said. Like, they were shocked to hear someone actually saying this and not being politically correct about what I was saying. But they all got up and cheered. The whole, it was like a standing ovation for what I said to this councillor, you know. So, you know, people have just got to do that and realize that they can all make a difference by just being brutally honest and being in integrity when you say something. If there's a problem, identify it and don't be afraid to speak about it and do it as publicly as possible in front of as many people as possible, and you'll make a difference. You will. I mean, I'm living proof that it works. I mean, I do it all the time.
Yeah, well, the difference between somebody who doesn't know what's going on and us is that we've got a choice about what we do about it. All right, the other people are completely unaware that they've got a choice whatsoever. You know, they don't count. 96% of people in the United States did not help the revolution that overthrew England. Okay, they did not help. All right, they were just sitting on the sidelines waiting to see who would win. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, if you're part of that 3% of people who would actually get on the field, who would actually risk life and limb, who would actually try to make a better tomorrow, you are more powerful than that 97% who do nothing. That is how powerful you are, ladies and gentlemen. Each and every one of you who decides to do something is 10 times as powerful as people who choose to do nothing. Easy. At least. Don't be afraid, you know. As Max said, you know, the second you get up and you start telling the truth and acting with integrity, you know what integrity means, ladies and gentlemen? It means that you tell the truth and you act with a moral conscience at all times. That's what it means to have integrity. You never waver. You always have it, you know. And as soon as you choose to lie or choose to act outside of what your conscience tells you, you no longer have your integrity, you know. And it's like, have you seen that happen to people in the truth movement and stuff like that? I've seen it happen, and I hope it never happens to me, where I just decide, you know what, this is actually too hard. I would like to have an air-conditioned office, and I would like to have, you know, fresh coffee and snacks brought to me while I'm on the thing, and have somebody to edit all my videos afterwards and stuff like that, and not have to do everything myself. And so I'll just get all these advertisers, and I'll start lying to people. I'll start making them afraid. I'll start repeating myself during my broadcasts and things of that nature, and interrupting them every 17 minutes with a frickin' commercial. No, can't do it. Can't do it. And it's not because, you know, my conscience tells me not to do it. It's because I physically can't do it. I start getting panic attacks and all of this other kind of stuff. You know, I'm a damaged person. A damaged person who can't do wrong because it physically makes him ill.
And that's the big difference between psychopath and people like ourselves, is that psychopaths don't care what happens to you. They don't feel bad about hurting other people. They have no moral compass whatsoever, just as you said. I mean, when you talk about people being dumb, they're getting dumbed down more and more each day with all these frequencies, with the food that's not even real food. I heard Max the other day talking about that chicken nuggets, are there's sawdust in them, for fact's sakes. I mean, this is insane. Yeah. The fluoride, yeah, all of it is dumbing people down even more. And it's sad. And again, I try to come on and give people solutions, ways to go, but it's so hard. I'm a personal trainer and a boxing instructor. I'm a nutritionist. I try to give people nutritional advice. They want to know how to lose the most amount of weight and look good. They're completely unconcerned about taking the nutritional advice on how to keep themselves healthy. They'd rather be sitting in a hospital bed, freaking half dead, but look good. It's insane. I mean, why is the human race not focusing on the fact that our environment is completely imploding, that our trees and bees are dying at a record rates? I mean, if the trees and the bees die, we're dead. How can people not be focusing on this?
It's probably because Monsanto creates the glyphosate that's killing all the bees, and their CEO used to work for the government, and now the government has just granted them protection from prosecutions and investigations and so on and so forth. So now the bees can be killed without anybody finding out about it, and if you do find out about it and try to report it, you get freaking arrested. All right, so that's why.
And they'll just create, Monsanto will just create some kind of artificial bee, some freaking robot bees to take care of the dead bees. I assume he'll roll that out soon.
One can only hope. Jeff, are you still here with us? I'll take that as a no.
No, I didn't hear you. Say that again, Vinny.
I was just wondering if Jeff was still with us.
yeah, I'm here. I don't say it a ton. I like listening to you guys, actually.
All right. Sorry
I'm
about
the,
that.
I'm the mild matter of Spitfire is the fuck.
But anyway, I interrupted Max to give you something to speak. Go ahead, Max.
I can't remember what I was going to say, brother. I was going to say something.
But,
no. Sidetracked.
Sorry, bro. It's all my fault.
See, we were talking about the moral compass, people not having caring about their actions, the fact that the entire world is imploding from the spraying.
And the Monsanto taking out the...
Everything's imploding. And, yeah, I mean, they probably will introduce some sort of robot bee or whatever. I mean, this is the sort of stuff I talked about on that show as well. We don't really need the bees anymore. We don't really need the sun even. I mean, they can spray in the sky. We don't need the sun. We can grow all this stuff indoors with chemicals, you know. This is what they've done to us. And they are dumbing people down. You know, the vaccines. This is what, how many vaccines do kids get now? Like in the United States, saying like 30 vaccines or something
like
now, or even more? It's ridiculous, you know. I mean, these are destroying children as early as possible. You've got, you know, teaching kids to be confused about their sexuality in the first and second year of school as well. Teaching little girls it's okay to be a boy and teaching little boys it's okay to be a girl. You know, before they've even got any idea of sexuality. You know, they're not even thinking about that stuff. They're thinking about building sandcastles and hanging ribbons in trees and stuff and playing Skippy. I mean, they're not interested in anything like that. It's ridiculous putting this sort of stuff into kids' minds. But, you know, it just creates this whole setup that they're doing. I mean, society is really being set up. We really are. All these fires that they're using to move people into cities. In China now, they pulled all the farmers out of the country, moving them into these ghost cities that are all over China. They're populating all those cities now with many of the working class under the guise of lifting everybody up out of poverty. Now, the whole human race is being set up. Yeah, into slave blocks and under a complete blanket surveillance system and social crediting system. There are 11 million people on China's social crediting system now that can't buy food, you know, can't do flights, can't rent houses, can't do all sorts of stuff because they're low on social points. You know, people are being stopped from flying because they're smoking in a non-smoking zone. They were caught on camera doing it, stuff like that. You know, jaywalking and they get their faces put on a bus shelter and shamed in public, you know, so... You know, labeled as an untrustworthy person because they're not doing what the government says. You know, and that's the model that'll be set for everybody else as well. I mean, this is what people don't realize Trump is doing with his Make America Great Again policy. You know, bringing all the industry back there. You know, funding all these wars, pulling, you know, funding wars such as the wars in Yemen and all this sort of stuff, but pulling troops back from Syria, but starting conflicts on his own border, like with Mexico and Venezuela. Let's just keep the wars local so we're not exporting to all these foreign areas, and let's isolate America from the rest of the world while we continue its expansionist policies. Now, isolationism and expansionism at the same time, but isolationism in as far as trade isolationism, with tariffs against countries in Europe, tariffs against China, all this sort of stuff, while the Chinese One Belt, One Road system is coming out and providing Europe the excuse to pull away from America financially while America continues its military might and its military conflagration all around the world. But, you know, the whole place is being set up. It really is. The entire world is being set up. And I think America is being set up to lose its place as the global reserve currency. Now, for China to take over this with the One Belt, One Road policy, however long this takes. But I suspect within the next few years, we're going to see a major shift in the world financial situation. So, yeah, so much going on at the moment, Vinny. There's so much going on.
Well, I was just going to... one thing... Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Max.
And I almost wonder, you know, like even with the information that we bring people, I mean, how we're ever really going to get ourselves out of where we're being led, you know? I really wonder if we can do it, you know, like if there's ever going to be any real mass action of non-compliance to the system, if everyone's simply going to realize at any time soon just how much they're being played and how much mind control the whole world is under, you know, and that's the problem. The whole world is under mind control. I mean, that's the only reason that people would tolerate this situation to begin with, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, it's all out of this the Behind the Green Mask book, UN Agenda 21. So it was interesting because over the summer, the New Zealand summer, over the last couple of months, Max, you know how I was talking about how we've been in this crap for 10 years. Well, I went back to documentaries I was watching 10 years ago before I started really doing all of this kind of thing, and man, those documentaries are full of information that I've forgotten. You know, it becomes ubiquitous, and you don't, and it doesn't really get to you. And one of the ones that really struck out for me was some of the presentations by Rosa Corey about UN Agenda 21 behind the green mask. And somebody asked her at one of these conferences in, I think it might have been the Netherlands. Do you think that, what is the New World Order, or what is it? What is the Illuminati and everything like that? Is there, has it got one expression? She says, yes, it's UN Agenda 21, right? Because it ties into absolutely everything. It does your, it does the dumbing down. It does the 5G. It does the chemical spraying of the atmosphere. It does the social credit system. It does the box houses that everybody's sitting in. It does the killing of the bees. It does the tagging of all the wildlife. It does the moving people out of rural areas. It does the political corruption. It does the subversion of national sovereignty by stealth. It does all of the things, every single thing. Like, I've yet to find anything that doesn't tie directly to Agenda 21. Maybe the satanic pedophile cults or whatever, or, you know, it's just like, it's not actually written in Agenda 21, the satanic pedophile cults and how they get the children from A to B, you know, and that kind of thing. Maybe that's not in it, but in terms of the global society, that's wow. going to affect the everyman. It's all in there. You know,
would and then, hold that book up again. She'll hold that book up again, Vinny.
Behind the Green Mask, UN Agenda 21 by Rosa Corey, and I think I've got the signature in there from her as well. Thank you so much, Rosa, for sending me this book.
Are you familiar with that book, Max?
I'm not familiar with the book, but I'm familiar with Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030. I think it's become now. But again, very familiar with the plan. And yeah, it does all
change the name of the scam.
This is exactly what we're seeing. Yeah, exactly. Change the name of the scam. The way they've, well, they relabeled Aspartame as now something else, relabeled Blackwater as Z, and probably something else now as well. So yeah, just relabel the same corruption.
Yeah, exactly. Repackage it, sell it off. Come on, we're selling it. We're selling it. So straight off of Jurassic Park.
Realizing that it's all tied in with Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030, I mean, that's what I mean. I mean, it's such an all-encompassing plan. And it's clear evidence that all of the governments are working together to implement it. What? You know, so much of the stuff we see, and the governments that aren't implementing it, the ones that are being bombed and taken over and had central banks installed, I mean, you know, but it's so easy to see when you look at the world that most of the conflicts that are cooked up are just who wants to play the enemy this week. Let's convince our people that they need us here, because that's the only reason you need government, isn't it? To protect you from the people over the border. But the people over the border are taught the same thing. And they're just in fear of the people across the border, which is you, but you don't want to go and attack them. It's just the governments facing off against each other. Governments just manufactured this strife to create their own legitimacy, to make us believe that we actually need these people when they're the ones who are cooking up the whole situation, just to give themselves more power, you know. So when you see how all-encompassing it is, I mean, what's it going to take to wake people up to the fact that, you know, this is a small group of people, really, that are doing this. When you look at all the governments, even if you put them all together, get every politician on earth and put them all together, you fit them all on Christmas Island, not a problem. We could nuke the place. That'd be great. But, you know, that's what I mean. We've got the entire rest of the world compared to this small group of people. Even if it's a couple of thousand, it's still a small group of people, you know. So, you know, the people have got to wake up to the power that we have. It's just this ridiculous belief and all the rubbish that these idiots write on paper that we believe constrains us. Mm. You know, it's a joke. It really is. So what's it going to take, Vinny, to wake people up, mate? I mean, even with books like, I mean, Agenda 21, so they tell you there in their own documents what's going on.
Yeah.
We see these people meet every couple of months and talk about all this bullshit together and say all this stuff that they want to do while the whole world continues to deteriorate. They created the UN to bloody end all wars, for God's sake. We've had more wars than in Earth's entire recorded history up to the point that the UN was created, since it was created. So what does that tell people?
What does every hero require? An inciting incident. Something happens to the hero during his quest that he will lose something very close to him, or he will struggle or go through extraordinary hardship and pain or something like that, that teaches him his own power and it reminds him his obligation of what he must do throughout the rest of the hero's journey. It usually happens in a dark place like a cave, right? That is what needs to happen for people to wake up, Max. Everybody needs to find their own cave and face that monster that's in it.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing. Unfortunately, they often don't. You know, if it ever gets to the point where they might and they get given a new action movie, which works as a wonderful safety relief valve, and they go to the movies and they watch the heroes save the world, and they come out feeling, oh my God, I feel so relieved because they're able to live that whole experience vicariously through Alita the Battle Angel or whatever, you know. So, you know, it's all these pressure relief valves that Hollywood provides, I think, and the sports games and all this stuff that, you know, fighting with your neighbors, even it all releases this pressure, you know.
What's one of the things that you never see people doing when you go to the movie? Sitting around on the couch watching TV, watching movies.
Interesting. Yeah, that's what I've said to people as well. If you really wanted to watch, if you're watching a reality TV show, if it was showing you a real reality TV, you'd be watching a whole bunch of people sitting around watching TV. That's reality. Or stuck in traffic jams on the freeway, you know, or going to some job they fucking hate, you know.
You know, before I forget it, you had mentioned that this whole transgender explosion that just kind of came out of nowhere. And I mean, they're having kids question things they'd never questioned before just because they're putting all this stuff on. You know, they're putting chemicals into the environment right now that mimic the female hormone, estrogen. I mean, what the hell is a female sex organ being put in the environment for?
Oh, so, really? I had no idea.
it's all about removing the children of their childhood, you know. I mean, that childhood is a really important part of your life. Playing is really important, you know. But they don't want kids playing, but they want kids worried about their sexuality, worried about what they look like and what makeup they should wear and all of this rubbish. You know, so they're completely destroying children's minds. That's what it's about. You know, teaching people about transgenderism long before they've even had any inkling of what sexuality even is, you know. It's ridiculous. I mean, I remember what it was like to be a young child. I wasn't thinking about sex at 5 or 6 years old. I was thinking about dinosaurs. I was thinking about pyramids. I was thinking about, you know, building sandcastles and playing with my cars outside. I mean, I was thinking about all sorts of other stuff. Nothing.
But 11 or 12, on the other hand.
at those days, you didn't want to play with the girls because you'd get girl germs. You know what I mean? It was that sort of a thing. I mean, kids were kids when we were kids, Vinny, you know? And they're not thinking about sex at that age. And putting that into kids' minds so they're coming home, you know, confused about their gender before they're even old enough to know what the word gender means, this is incredibly damaging.
Well, the thing is, I'm a little bit younger than you, Max. So when I went to school, and I only just had this realization this morning, and I'm glad you reminded me of it because I would have forgotten it forever, I realized that I'm not friends with anybody I used to go to school with. And all the people that I knew in my class and school have basically done nothing of real importance to this world, right? And that made me feel so fucking alone, bro. Like that, I was stuck with those people for like 7 or 8 years being educated in that institution alongside people who didn't really have, even in retrospect, a whole lot of potential to change the world and do good things with this life. And it's like, am I the only freaking one? God damn it. And it's just like, well, that's one kid out of maybe 30 or 40 or 60 or something like that. So however much it was back in your day, Max, I've found it's a hell of a lot less proportionally now. People who will actually grow up, become independent, go off and do their own thing and actually have real life experiences that teach them real life lessons. And I think this is probably the reason why earlier on in my truth of career, I started gravitating towards elders and the truth movement and talking to them and interviewing them and all of this kind of stuff, because the whole concept of being parented, being educated, being loved, feeling like you matter in this world and actually knowing what you got to do and going out and doing it, that whole process is never fucking talked to anybody. But when you ever talk to an elder who has done all of that stuff, he doesn't want to talk to you about anything else unless, of course, you're not interested, in which case he doesn't want to talk to you.
Yeah, very interesting. I mean, I started questioning things really, really early. That's why I was kicked out of 4 schools. I mean, I left high school halfway through my 10th grade. You know, but then I had people like 30, 40 years later that I had known in school,
Now, a couple of them, only two or three, that had, it's like you, I'm not friends with any of my old school friends. But then I had a transient lifestyle as well because I lived as a musician. So I didn't live anywhere for 7.5 years. That didn't really help staying in contact with your friends. But so that's, and that's just one period. But I was on the road for like 20 years, you know, so it doesn't really help. But, you know, even with that, I mean, 30 years later, I had people, I'd bump into them, people from school, and they recognize when they come and say, oh, wow, all that stuff you used to tell us in high school and we thought you were crazy. It's all true now. And how did you know? You know, so you know, there was a few people that could think outside the box, but I got horribly ostracized through all of my school years. On my own desk outside the principal's office for my last 6 months of school, that's when I realized there was no point in me really being there. I just kind of walked out halfway through my exams, you know.
I actually had my own desk outside the deputy principal's office for 6 weeks too, bro. Yeah. I know how that feels.
Oh, there you go.
I got suspended 17 times from my high school, but unlike you, I wasn't smart enough to leave in the so I stuck it out, you know. Even repeated my last year because I spent it all drinking instead of studying.
Yeah, brothers in arms. I haven't met too many people who've had their desks outside the principal or vice principal's office. So yeah, good stuff.
Well, that must be why I like you so much.
Had a secret bond there that we didn't know about, brother.
Yeah. It's funny when you have conversations about things that are real, you find out things that you didn't fucking know.
How extraordinary.
There's a lot of people out there who don't have conversations that are real, eh? And there's, you know, I feel like an isolated bubble of good conversationness. It's like everybody else is like, oh, Vinny, why do you always try to force good conversations on people? And I was just like, I'm sorry.
I thought there was a lot wrong with me when I was a child, you know, because I couldn't think inside the box like everybody else. And that's what school trains you to think, that there's something wrong with you if you don't accept a general consensus. Mm. Yeah, it wants to squash all critical thinking and squash all creative input into any situation. Mm. But I used to argue with my teachers all the time because I was so well read by the time I got to high school, because I've been researching ancient history, you know, since I was about 8. And so I used to argue with them. I'd say, well, hang on, you're just teaching us the most commonly accepted theory. There's all these other ideas about that concept. And why aren't you teaching us all the ideas that exist around that subject? You know? And opening up for discussion. I mean, that'd be real education, you know. And they didn't like that. They really hated me doing stuff like that. So, but I was always like that. And that's when I realized the system was so flawed and everything was, you know. I knew I was in a madhouse by the time I was 4 years old. I knew I'd been born into a madhouse, into an insane asylum, that everyone was nuts and nobody had any grasp on reality at all. And I didn't really want to think it was true, but I was just looking and observing, thinking, well, they're all mad. Everybody's mad, all these meaningless conversations they're having and everything. And as I grew up, I thought there was something wrong with me. I was a misfit, you know, and I was terribly depressed. I was almost suicidal for a lot of my teenage years. I must have cried buckets, literally buckets upon buckets of tears in my life. There were periods there where I would cry for 2 or 3 weeks on end, all day and all night. I would just cry at how inadequate I felt and why the world was the state that it was. You know, that was my childhood. I had a terrible childhood. And the education system taught me that it was me, that I was the problem. You know, I look at myself now and I look at the world now, I think, well, hang on, I'm actually a reasonably intelligent sort of a person. I'm actually a good person. And I've actually done a lot of stuff to help a lot of people. And like you, I can't do certain things. I can't profit from people. I have a terrible time profiting from people. Even when I go and do my talks, I'm a really easy target to get to do a free talk, even though I really need money, because I simply can't ask for payment. I can't either say, how much do you want for your talk? I can't give you a price. I can't put that on you. I got around that.
Yeah, I said to them, okay, there's two pricing schedules. One is X amount and the other is whatever you can afford. All right, whatever you appreciate it. I'll do it. And then after I've done it, you give me whatever you feel it was worth to you. All right. And that way, if I walk away and it's done for free, that's good. And if I walk away and it's done good for you and you give me something, that's good too. And that way it takes all the pressure out of the scenario.
Yeah, well, that's what I do with everything that I do, Vinny. I don't attach commerce to anything. And, you know, all the medicines I serve people and stuff with the Cambo and all the stuff I do, I can't charge people for it. I'll let them give me what they think, you know, what they feel. And You know, ultimately, this is about helping people, and it's about spreading awareness. That's what this whole truth movement started out to be. I mean, the whole purpose of this is freedom, establishing freedom for the human condition in whatever means it takes to do that, whatever methods we have to use, you know, preferably peaceful, because I don't think we need any violence. I mean, sure, there's going to be violent people who are going to react violently, and I don't believe in violence, but I do totally support counter-violence. You know, if someone is violent against you, yeah, you should defend yourself. Absolutely, you should. You never take a backward step to anybody. I never will, and I never have. But
apart from that guy who hit you from behind outside that Israel conference kind of thing.
Well, that was a bit of a drag. Well, you know, yeah, that was.
There's always exceptions.
I couldn't do much about that. You know, I mean, that was an attack from behind. I got down. I got a couple of cracked ribs and whatever.
Yeah, man.
But
it was
he didn't kill me. He could have killed me. He could have killed me, but he didn't. So I consider myself fortunate in that because I was completely defenseless. I mean, I was an old man down on the ground in the dark, hit from behind, and he hit me in the ear. So it completely, you know, a punch to the ear disrupts your eardrum and you lose balance. And it's really, really disorienting, a punch to the ear. So that was the first blow. So I was completely at his mercy, and I'm still here. So I consider myself fortunate through all that, you know.
Yeah.
But through it all, I mean, you know, we can make change. We can. And just realizing that, you know, in Lakesh, every radio show I say it, in Lakesh, I'm another yourself. If we can just do that and treat people in this way, we can change the world. We really can. We don't need all this economic bullshit. That's why I have a really hard time charging for anything I do. You won't find anything to buy on my website. Nothing. I give it all away for free. Never monetize my YouTube account, anything like that. I could see that was a trap when they first started it as well. So, you know, they're trapping you folks. You're going to get people sensationalizing their clips and becoming more and more like the mainstream media in order to get clicks and get likes and get income. And then they're going to quit their day jobs, cut all their ties. They're going to depend on their YouTube income. Then they're going to cut you off. And that's exactly what they've done to so many people, you know. And if you're doing this for money or doing this for fame or fortune, then you're not really doing it, and you're doing damage, because this is about truth and it's about freedom. And nobody really knows what the real truth is in so many things. I mean, all we really know is that we're living in a slavery system and that the world is run by criminals. I mean, that's a truth that I don't think anyone can deny. The rest of it we're trying to figure out, but we need to, you know, extricate ourselves from this snare, this trap that we're being led into, and we need to extricate ourselves from this criminal cacistocracy that has taken control and is masquerading as governments in what is essentially an international, multinational, multi-generational criminal cabal. That's what this government system is. We need to call it for what it is and stand together. And it won't take all of us to do it. It'll just take those who are awake to get a little bit of focus, agree to disagree on their small issues, respect each other enough to actually stand together and call the system out for what it is, do it publicly enough, and we'll reach a lot of people. We really will. And I have an enormous amount of faith in humankind to be able to get ourselves out of this mess. I really do.
I was just thinking, if we had some kind of a covenant, you know, hey, bro, you're not going to argue about this, 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 and this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this. Because, why not? Well, because they don't actually really matter when the alternative is we could stop the people from actually getting enslaved and exterminated in the first place, and that would free up time for debate on these other issues. You see, get exterminated first, or do the debate first. Which do you want to do? No, just try to stop humanity getting enslaved and exterminated first! Then we can argue about anything, forever.
That's what I was saying, Brittany. I mean, all of these problems exist because of government, because we have all of these mysteries. All these mysteries exist because they're legislated to be there. Let's deal with that. And then all the barriers break down, all the doorways will open, you know. So let's get a little bit of focus and stop putting the cart before the horse, like you say. You know, we've got a serious situation here. We've got a situation of clear and present danger, and we need to deal with it. Once we deal with that, all of the doorways will open, all the mysteries will be revealed, and you won't have to argue about any things anymore because you'll know what the truth is.
Yeah. If the world just knew that the earth was flat, all of the problems would be solved.
Yeah, it's just like, apply truisms. If the entire world has a complete understanding of morality, conscience, and moral obligation, everybody would be free. That's true, isn't it? Mark Passio figured it out. He said that there's an inverse relationship between freedom and morality. So the more moral a society is, the more freedom that society will have. The more immoral and decadent that society is, the more the more tyranny they will get, right, essentially. So I think essentially how you create a moral person, particularly for men, this is a men's issue, okay? I'm gonna just come out there and say that fuck the social justice warriors, fuck the militant feminists, okay? I don't care what your opinion is on this. Saving the world, saving human life is a man's game. Okay, this is what we do. We protect. We act as guardians. We go and we destroy things that are threatening our women folk. That's what we do. And if you don't appreciate that, then there's all manner of ways to get raped, murdered, slaughtered, and enslaved when you don't have men around to protect you. And I'm talking about real men now, and I'm not talking about some kind of quasi feeling of chauvinism. I'm talking about chivalry, okay? Chivalry is, I will be very, very polite to you and kind and respectful. If you cross me, I will murder you brutally, okay? Do you understand this, right? That's the kind of thing. That is what chivalry actually is. You embody all the best of humanity and all the worst. Not one or the other, not watered down and middling things, but there comes a time when sometimes, yes, it is necessary to kill major threats. And sometimes, yes, it is necessary to be calm and peaceful and quiet. And the true act of chivalry is the art form of knowing which to use at any given moment. So that morality, that conscience, that kind of thing, the non-aggression principle has to be backed up by that masculine principle of self-defense. If somebody tries to kill you, you have the moral obligation to defend yourself. If they're trying to kill somebody else and that other person doesn't deserve it, you have a moral obligation to protect them, that kind of thing. Wouldn't it be an interesting society if the abuses of government at all times were immediately answered by big men just going, "Hey, cops, what are you doing that, beating that black guy up? Well, he hasn't done anything. Get the hell away from him. Oh, you want to come and attack me now? Okay, fight's on then, boy." You know, that kind of thing. These cops would suddenly start shitting themselves because you'd have men, real, strong, "I'm going to beat the shit out of you if you don't do the right thing," men. If there were those people around, we wouldn't have half the problems that we have, maybe even none of them.
That's interesting.
Yes, the problem in society has been sincerely wimpified, severely wimpified, and they have. I mean, the loss of the alpha male, this is something I talked about on a show recently as well, you know, the loss of the alpha male in our society, the loss of chivalry in our society. It's an important thing, very much.
I have a teenager in high school, and he told me that, and he's going through the same thing. He can really relate with what you're talking about, Max, what you went through in high school, because he just doesn't fit in. He says everybody is just plain stupid. They don't care about anything. They don't know anything, and he doesn't feel right around these people. But he told me recently that if someone was to come up and sock him in the face, if he defended himself and socked that person back, he would get suspended. That's just insane. And I said, "You know what, son? I don't care what they say. If somebody socks you in the face, you sock them back."
Yeah, absolutely. Of course you should. I mean, that's the way it is. I mean, I don't agree with violence, but yeah, I mean, you can't take a backward step to people simply because, you know, the teacher says you should, and you can't get other people to fight your battles for you.
Hmm.
You know, you've got to be able to make a stand.
Yeah, and Mark Passio also defined that word violence. It comes from the word violate, all right. And he talked about the one natural law principle in the universe. If you wanted to sum it all up in one sentence, this is it: don't take anything that doesn't belong to you. That includes a life. That includes somebody's personal freedom. That includes somebody's property. You know, that kind of thing. Don't take that which does not belong to you. And if somebody tries to take something that doesn't belong to them, they automatically have given up their rights. Okay? They've given up their right to life, liberty, and property. All right? Because they violated somebody else's rights. And that's the reactive society that we actually need, I think. Imagine if... Sure. Instead of violating each other, it was self-defense. You know, that kind of thing. And that's the distinction we need to get into. What is violence? Now, if a government tells you to pay taxes and so on and so forth, they're taking something which doesn't belong to them, that's violence. They're using violence against you. And so you have to defend yourself. But you can't just go up against the government with, you know, just a six shooter and stuff. I'm gonna get them all. It's not going to work out for them.
Dictionary. See how that works out.
Yeah, that's right. So at the end of the day, you have to resist. That's your moral obligation. You have to resist with any resources that you have available to you. And if you have no resources available to you, get more. And resources aren't just money. They ain't just power. It's also skills. Can you defend yourself? Do you have a black belt in something? 10,000 hours is all it takes to gain a level of expertise at anything. Ladies and gentlemen, 10,000 hours at boxing, that's about 8 hours a day, 5 days a week for about 4 years or so like that, just like the old apprenticeships used to be. You can learn plumbing in 4 years, you can learn electrical engineering in 4 years, and all of these other kind of things. Hands-on, doesn't matter what you want to do, ladies and gentlemen, you want to survive out in the woods and things like that, that ain't going to happen. They're going to have predator drones, they're going to have roving patrols, they're going to have wild animals and outlay zones out there. That ain't going to work. You want to focus on steeling your mind against this kind of thing. How can I stop myself from getting depressed and going into a panic mode when I'm seeing people blown away in front of me, and maintain my cool and maintain control of myself and my crew so that I don't get them killed and do something stupid? Do you know how to do that? There are men who do. Okay, and they're all more than willing to teach the right people how to do it. Any kind of power that we have, ladies and gentlemen, the best that we can do with it is make sure that it's in the right hands, and the best hands at the end of the day are still our own.
Yeah, well said, Vinny.
Steno, you've been pretty quiet over there. You want to interject?
I'm always pretty quiet. I'm just having a great time listening to you. You guys are all radios. I'm just an officer, so I don't talk a fucking ton, but it's a great thing to hang out with you guys for sure. I feel privileged, so fucking guys are cool.
He was always
everything you guys do, man.
You're welcome. I get that a lot.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we're at about an hour and a half, guys. I say this is a damn good show, very powerful. Maybe some closing thoughts from everybody. How about you, Max?
Look, be the change that you want to see. I mean, whether you think Gandhi was a politician or not, that's one good thing that he did say. As Vinny's been saying, you know, we can all make a difference if we choose to stand up for what is right and adjust our moral compass. That's really the key to the whole thing. Yeah, we don't need to change the system at all. We need to change us. Because once we change what's inside ourselves, then we will interact with the system in a different way. You know, if we don't change what's inside us, then it doesn't matter what system comes along. They'll put anything in place and we'll just end up back where we are because we never changed our moral compass inside. As soon as we change our moral compass, the world has to change around us by default. You know, and that's really the only way out of this situation is for people to wake up to themselves. You know, it's the inner work, but once you've done that inner work, you've got to apply that work to the world that you live in. You know, you're in this, you exist for a reason. You know, this 3D reality, you're here for a reason. It's because you're supposed to participate in it. So that's what I think will help, and that's what I think will change the world. You know, massive waves of non-compliance, and all the non-compliance that you need to do is to change your moral compass. That's really the solution to the whole thing. Once we do that, the world will change.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, thanks for having me on, brother. Pleasure to come and talk to you. Good to talk to you again, Vinny, as well.
Oh, yeah. Awesome, bro. I was just thinking about the word reclaim, you know. We need to reclaim our lands. We need to reclaim our minds. But that comes with inherent challenges and responsibilities. That includes the right to be unhappy, the right to be sick, the right to grow old, the right to be afraid. We have to claim it all. Every single fiber of our being will be utterly annihilated and destroyed if we do not act, and so will every subsequent generation and every fiber of their beings and every cell and every nucleus of their beings will be evaporated. everything that it means to be human will simply cease to exist. A robotized future with no freedom of thought, no love, no companionship, no honor, no distinction between right and wrong. A world of perpetual suffering felt by all from birth till death. We can reclaim this world, and we must. It is not a choice. It is an obligation.
Powerful words, Vinny. Powerful words. Max, I want to jump back to you for one moment, and I'm going to re-edit this. I'm going to end the show when I edit it with that, Vinny, without a doubt. There was one thing that I failed to ask you, Max, that I wanted to talk to you about because I know very little about it. It's Mesopotamia.
Mesopotamia?
Mm-hmm.
The mud flood? Look, the mud flood went for want of a better term. What we're discovering is that there was an event. There was some sort of a cataclysmic event that appears to have happened in the early 1800s that's gone right across the earth. You can find evidence of this in almost every country on earth. Not in every city in every country, but in almost every country. You can find it here in Sydney and Brisbane and Melbourne and Adelaide. You can find evidence of it in New York, in LA, in San Francisco. I mean, all over the place, all across Europe. Buildings that are buried by 18 feet, 20 feet of ground. You know, and there's a whole level of society that existed below ground. So what happened? This is an event that is not in our history books. And there seems to have been a cataclysm that went right across the entire earth. And there's a very real possibility that the earth was then repopulated with children, and the children were taught a false history, taught the history that we believe to be history now. You know, as I said, I only get this information from library books. We don't know where any of these books come from anyway. But when you look at things such as the foundling trains and the orphan trains and the massive amounts of children that were trafficked around the world in the late 1800s, you begin to see how it was very possible for this to have happened. And like I said, you can find evidence of what we're calling a mud flood anywhere, everywhere, all around the world. And even calling it a mud flood, I mean, we don't know what caused this. We don't know whether it was, worldwide tidal waves. We don't know whether it was some sort of a plasma event or an earthquake event where the ground became molten, or whether it was literally a mud flood, or how it happened, or why it happened, or what really did happen. All we know is that we found evidence of this event happening, and we found it all around the world. And the fact that it's not in our history books is very, very significant. You know, and the evidence of a nation called Tartaria, which also existed up until the mid-1800s as well. And this was a huge, huge nation. When you look at the maps, you know, some of the maps that you see of this nation, this culture, encompass most of Europe, all of Russia, all of China, India, even parts of the United States seem to be included in this nation, parts of the Philippines, even parts of Australia seem to be included in this nation on some map. So this is possibly one of the largest empires, the biggest, most spread out empires that has ever existed in the history of the world, and nobody knows about it. And it's been expunged from all the maps and expunged from history, and nobody knows anything about this empire, and nobody knows anything about this, what appears to be a worldwide cataclysmic event in the form of this mud flood. So it's just very interesting stuff that we've been looking into, stuff that's just surfaced recently. And it's interesting because it's right in front of your face. It doesn't matter where you live, you'll find evidence of this probably in the country that you live in. If you go to a major capital city in your country, you'll probably find buildings that have got, you know, windows down at street level, possibly arches that are only ankle high that appear above the pavement. And you'll find buildings that are being excavated in places such as Seattle that have got huge multi-stories below ground with painted walls and everything. You know, these aren't foundations.
I toured that last time I was in Seattle with a whole city that was underground.
So where did all this come from? You know, what was really here? And even when you look at some of the early pictures of buildings in Australia, such as St. Mary's Cathedral in Australia, which was apparently built in 1820, well, Australia was colonized and declared Australia in 1778. So how on earth did they build this incredibly intricate structure in 32 years of the most incredible architecture? I mean, Australia was a convict settlement, for God's sake. Well, they brought all these convicts out here who were just incredible stonemasons who went and dug all these quarries and built all these incredibly Gothic-style buildings as soon as they arrived.
Seriously, they didn't even have the excavation equipment to do it. So where did all these buildings come from in all of our countries? And what was this culture? Because and what happened to it? Because the evidence of this so-called mud flood exists in so many countries. And we're just trying to piece it all together and find out exactly what happened.
Man, thank you for that. Thank you. Thank you for that, Max. I've been wanting to look into it. And one of the things that really attracted me to Sentinel when he was writing his books is that he was trying to figure out just who this mythical Yeshua character was and what the truth was. And he went through the New Testament, the Old Testament. He went through the Dead Sea Scrolls. He went through the Apocrypha. He went through all different types of spiritual books to try to piece together who this person was. Sentinel, you want to expand on that a little bit?
Yeah. So I don't know where Max and Benny are on the whole religious thing, but I mean, I was an atheist for most of my life. And I woke up in 2007 to the New World Order when I was still an atheist. You guys probably know the Zeitgeist movie. I saw that. It fucking blew my mind. I was going down a rabbit hole after that. And about a couple of years after researching the New World Order, the shit just didn't make any fucking sense until you figure in the supernatural and everything that's in the Bible. And once I figured that out, I clicked. I asked God to save me, got freaking saved, Holy Spirit and all that stuff. And then it all made sense to me, and I was able to put it largely in order. My book to the point where, I mean, it's not rocket science. What's in my first book? It's just kind of, you know, it's the gist of the New World Order and as best of order as I could put it in. And people freaking, you know, it's real easy for someone just waking up to read and understand. And that's why it's done pretty good on Amazon. It's got almost 200 reviews, 4.6 rating. Fucking reviews are just, everybody loves it, but it's not advanced knowledge at all. That's more work. I got into the shit. My second book, I don't know what you guys know about Saturn worship and stuff, but there's freaking no books out there about Saturn worship, hardly at all, if at all. So it was, that was a little bit of an interesting topic to get into. But and then I don't remember what Eric asked me, but, about Yehoshua. Yeah. So in my next book, I'm actually third book, I'm actually going, and I don't know where you guys are at with all the holy name issue and stuff. I think that's really actually quite important because the English translation of Yahushua, which was his Hebrew name, is not Jesus, it's actually Joshua. So it's just another long line deceptions of what the New World Order crowd's been pulling on humanity for thousands of years.
Yeah.
That's about where I'm at with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, my two favorite things about the Jesus one, what were we talking with Joe Atwell, who wrote the book Caesar's Messiah, Why Rome Conspired to Invent the Character of Jesus. And then there was Ralph Ellis's book, who talked about the actual archaeological findings of King Isis of Edessa. They just unearthed some coins a few years ago, and he's wearing a crown of thorns on those coins. And he appears to be the illegitimate son of Cleopatra and Julius Caesar. And at the time, he tried to start a war against Rome to try and just get the seat of the emperorship for himself, but he was defeated. And then Rome changed his story to say, instead of a rich warrior king who tried to free everybody and become a head of the empire, he was a peace-loving hippie. Oh, just return to Caesar. What's Caesar's? Don't try and assassinate Caesar. And then, you know, she'll be right, you know, that kind of thing. And then became more of like a peacemaking, lovey, hippy-dippy god to keep the masses pacified. And they had this thing called the Council of Nicaea, I think it was about 500 AD, with Josephus Flavius writing this thing into law, canon. Canon law is what it initially came into, and just says, okay, well, here's all of these books over here of the Bible. They're out. Here's a couple of books over here. They're in. Okay, anybody else says anything different, shush, just shush, okay? God said so. He wrote it himself, and then we passed it into law at the Council of Nicaea, officially making Jesus a god. And then the very next week, we made Emperor Augustus a god. Okay, so there's no connection. No fucking connection between the legal status of a god and
we got blonde hair, blue eyed Jesus. Who? How many blonde hair, blue eyed people are in the Midwest or in the in the area where Jesus supposedly came from?
Well, actually, that's quite an interesting thing, because there's a lot of Turkish people who have blue eyes. A lot of Turkish people have blue eyes and stuff like that. So it's not quite as far fetched as it sounds. But I'm not putting no stake in the ground on anything.
In the names, it's just how they did it. Constantine, I believe that was in the first book that you were talking about, is how they Constantine was a ruler that a lot of the likenesses of Jesus that you see. Of Jesus, Yeshua, whatever name you choose, Yahweh, is actually Constantine, not Jesus at all.
Yeah.
And what we also found is that if you look, think about Buddhism or what Buddhists believe, Hindu, all of these same principles are universal, you know, between all of these, with the exception of some of the things in the Quran. That's a whole different story. And we're not really going to go there, but when it says you have to kill your enemies, if they don't believe what you believe, then that you got a problem with that book. But you can go back to the Bible and see that things like that were in the Bible, too, where they did horrible things. So, I mean, I guess the point is you have people that are worshiping certain deities, and usually they look like that particular ethnicity is who their deity is. But they all have this all-encompassing thing in common. Basically, you know, comes down to be a good person.
Yeah,
is what it comes down to, and there's one encompassing being that people want to put a face on. They want to see a face. What does it look like?
Yeah, you know, that's the thing as well. A man was talking to the devil, but he didn't know he was talking to the devil. But he's just curious. He goes, "What's your name?" And the devil goes, "I go by many names." You know.
Absolutely. And that goes to back to the Saturn worship that you were talking about, Sentinel. That blew my mind. It was one of the worst days of my life, Vinny, after I started researching all the Saturn signs out there. Everything. I've gassed it. Everything you can imagine. You see it, and you suddenly realize you're living in this crazy satanic matrix with all these Saturn symbols everywhere. I'll never forget that, Sentinel. Driving around, I pulled over, I parked my car, and I freaking, there were tears in my eyes. I was like, holy moly, boy, are we in some big trouble. I better go out and do something about this.
Yeah, there's some big trouble in Little Satan.
Wow, it was insane to me. Are you familiar with the Satan, Saturn worship and that old matrix?
Oh, yeah.
Max, and Vinny, I think we've spoke about it briefly before.
It's not one
are
of
you
my,
familiar with the Max?
Not one of my big expertises. Max, are you there? You're on mute, brother.
Yeah, quite familiar with it. You'll see Saturn logos everywhere and just about everything. It's rampant all around the world.
Oh, young, listen, when you started noticing Saturn symbols everywhere.
I'm going to have to go, guys. I'm kind of running out of time, unfortunately.
Oh, sure. I'm trying to keep you for as long as I can now.
That's all good. We can do it again, though.
If we make it another 10 minutes, that makes it a full two-hour show.
I've been doing this for about, I don't know, 4 years, and I've interviewed some people, but I mean, I'm blown away to have you on, Max. You are truly one of my heroes, and I even told Vinny when I got the time zone screwed up, I'm like, I think I'm going to go cry now, because I messed up, and this is the guy who I'd want to talk to out of anybody that I've been listening to you now for a year. You better go check that. It was an interview you did. I think it was a conference, actually, that you were speaking at, because I copy and pasted the 3 years thing from them, so they got it wrong too.
That's all but good, brother.
Just awesome being able to speak with you, and then to have Vinny on too. This is the kind of people that Sentinel and I have been looking to look at. I'm almost stumbling over words because I'm nervous
to be in
your presence, sir. Honestly, just thank you for coming on.
No, look, it's absolutely my pleasure, brother, and we'll do it again. I mean, and sorry about the time mess up last time. I just I had stuff to do on the Thursday. I just couldn't do it on the Thursday. Okay. I was actually sitting here waiting on Wednesday. I was sitting going, what's going on here? And I sent you this all good message, and I thought, what's happening? I kind of sat here and waited. But, yeah,
I just couldn't do it. I said all good.
Yeah. I couldn't be there on the Thursday. But look, I'm really happy to come on again and do it again, brother. We can do it when I got more time. I just got so much on at the moment.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. I got to leave in a couple of weeks, and I've got people just arriving. So
yeah, we have different days and different time zones on a flat Earth somehow. No, not quite sure the science of how that one works, but we'll do some investigating and we'll fucking find out, you know.
It's all good, man. I'm living in a country that apparently doesn't exist. So, you know. according to many flat earthers, there is no Australia. It's all an act.
No, but let's also be sure to know that there's a distinction between idiots and people who aren't idiots, okay? And in any movement, regardless of what the movement is, there are people who aren't idiots and there are people who are, all right? So when we make fun of idiot flat earthers, it's just those idiot flat earthers that we're making fun of because it's fucking funny, all right?
Sure, I have friends who are still very intelligent and they believe it and we just choose not to talk about it.
Well, you know, like I said, there's a lot of good people in the movement, so don't judge them all badly. But yeah, there are.
I'm actually wanting to get to the bottom of this, Max.
Outright disinformationists, but I'm going to have to go, guys. Yeah. Unfortunately, but it's been really great talking to you. Really good to see you again, Vinny. You're looking well.
Sure, brother. I've lost 12 kilos.
And we'll have to catch up again and have a chat again soon.
Yeah, man. It's good. I was just thinking about this as well. One last thing. Thinking about investigating into the flat earth, right? Like, who actually created the flat earth movement? When did it even begin? Where were the first documented sightings of it and the maths and everything to prove it? Because the globe earth, that started in 600 BC. So unless NASA has been keeping everything on lockdown since 2600 years before it freaking existed, there's something strange going on in every way, shape, and form. And I'd like to find out the who, what, when, where, and how of the flat earth movement. Did somebody create it? Or is it actually genuine? I'd like to get down to the bottom of it, because when things are actually real, when all the things line up, you can freaking do it, but you have to actually want to pay attention to it. You actually have to want to figure it out. And most people, they know for a fact that it doesn't really matter in the least anyway, and it's just a waste of time to them, or at least that's what they think, because you don't know what you don't know. And the more you know about a topic, the more you think you know about a topic than you actually do. So here's the problem, is that no matter what our belief is, no matter how much facts we think we've got for anything, unless we are cognizant of the fact that, yes, I could be wrong, let's do some investigating into this and let's find out if I actually give a shit.
With that, I'm going to go ahead and wrap the show. Oh, what? One last thing, that 3,000 miles away, the sun is supposedly 3,000 miles away. Isn't that like the distance from where I'm at to like the far point of Russia or something?
It's so hot.
The same distance. If there's more than 3,000 miles between where I'm at and another point on the planet, how can the sun only be 3,000 miles away?
Look, as far as I'm concerned, it's so hot in New Zealand right now, the sun might as well only be a couple of miles away, bro. Like, fuck.
They lowered it, man. I guess so.
Yeah.
I wish I could get a little bit of that sun. I want to thank Vinny Eastwood. I want to thank Sentinel Jeff Hayes. And I want to thank Max Egan for coming on and giving me a great freaking night. You know, people, it's the sixth world mass extinction is right now.
One can only
We're losing 200 to 300 species of plant, animal, and insect every day to extinction. These are facts. That's 15 times the normal background extinction rate. These are all statistical facts. Don't believe me. Investigate it. And this government just keeps trying to hide the scientific data that the actual brave scientists are trying to come out and expose. In fact, they're planning a march because they're being censored. They're being gag ordered by Trump and others to not speak of this. And they're hiding it because people would lose their freaking minds if they knew just how dire the situation is right now.
Yeah.
On Earth. I mean, Earth costs stone tipping point. And this next statistic, this is the most mind-blowing one, and I'll close with this. 2/3 of animals will be extinct by 2020 if we continue on this. Let that sink in. 2/3 of animals will be extinct by 2020.
Whoa.
So it's
it's just of the utmost importance for people to get out now and do something. And welcome to the resistance.
And if all else fails, don't worry, ladies and gentlemen. It's just the end of the world.
That's it.
Peace. See ya.